Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The story, of course, continues about how sports has been impacted by the pandemic. College football is on tap. We're getting from going from voluntary workouts in the next week or so to mandatory workouts, and then the schedule is scheduled to begin on August 29th. We are joined right now by ESPN's college football playoff reporter, Heather Dinich, and she's with us on our Western Hotline. Heather, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So I know a lot can happen. We know that this is fluid and different things are happening over the matter of days, hours, weeks, what have you. But as you talk to ADs and football coaches right now around the country, a month and a half shy of the opener, what's the general sense you're getting? Optimism, pessimism? What are they telling you?
The general sense is probably growing pessimism, but also a sort of, hey, if we can do this, we're going to do it mentality. And, I don't think anybody's been surprised to this point by the positive tests that have popped up from coast to coast as student-athletes returned for those voluntary workouts. But I think what you're seeing now is that as they are on campus and they stay on campus, it's that how do you control them for the 22 hours or whatever it is that they are not under the supervision of the athletic department. And that's where the concern lies and continues to lie, because as you see across the country, much of the surge in cases doctors are attributing to the 18 to whatever younger range, right, of people who are getting infected.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, Heather, if you look at the stories about the NBA and the NHL and you're hearing, professional athletes talk about, are you going to be able to keep your teammates in check? Will everybody stay in the bubble and behave themselves? Imagine now multiply the numbers to all of the players that are on scholarship on a college football roster and the walk-ons and college kids who are going to want to hang out. It's a sizable problem.
It is, exactly. And, American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko told me last week, I talked to him on Friday, and he said, look, if students are not on campus, regular students, right, then all bets are off.
Right.
Because he says it's highly unlikely that if universities don't open their doors for the fall, then college football players aren't going to be there, or any athletes for that matter. So I think that's another big thing to pay attention to, is what are the university presidents doing?
I think one of the questions, I think most people would say, well, here's an easy thing to do. Why don't they just postpone it and push the season to the spring? You get more time. Maybe the cases go down. Maybe there's a vaccine. Maybe you could have fans in the stands by then because it would be safer. Why don't they just say, the heck with it, we're going to wait till after the first of the year, or push it into the spring?
Well, because from the people that I've spoken to, and I've talked to a lot this week, we're actually going to write a story about it coming up on ESPN.com next week. But what people are telling me is, look, there's not any guarantee that there is going to be a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And if it's not safe to do now, what makes anyone 100% sure it's going to be safe to do in the spring? I think that's the biggest question. The second thing I'm hearing is just the quick turnaround, right, that bumps up into the 2021 season and protecting the student athletes. You know, the situation would be, from what I'm told, play March, April, May, which means that you probably have to start what we're going into now, the conditioning and all that, the preseason practice, essentially in January, which is still bumping up against the flu season, right? So, And then you got the issue of the draft. So everyone that I've talked to has said, is it doable? Yes, it is. Is it our first choice? Absolutely not. Is it our second choice? Probably not.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to dust it off and we're going to keep it out there just in case we have to resort to that.
So what about, okay, if they stay in the fall, how many options have they been considering if they stay in the fall, whether it's a delayed start? I've heard talk, you know, people have talked about conference-only schedule, maybe play half the schedule. What kind of options would be there if they say we still want to start, you know, in September or late August?
All of those options that you mentioned are still on the table. I think, based on what I'm hearing, the conference-only schedule is still a very serious consideration. That's an interesting possibility, because it would give schools the flexibility to bump it back if you're playing fewer games, right? And it would also give them a little bit of wiggle room to make up games. Say if Syracuse couldn't play Boston College, right? Then there's an extra week in there to figure that out. And then you bring into question that if you go conference only, what happens to Notre Dame? And I think that there is an underlying unspoken agreement that the ACC would help out Notre Dame in that sense. So I think that there are certainly contingency plans that the commissioners and decision makers in the sport have gotten their heads around, but I also think that I don't know yet that they're ready to jump on it and say, okay, let's do that.
Well, that would be my next question. Then you have an article up at ESPN.com about the Power Five leagues, and they're kind of doing a wait and see. So is there a deadline? Is there a date, as far as you know, that at some point, well, by this date, they're going to have to decide, are we playing in September or not?
Right. And based on everything that I've been told in recent interviews, that benchmark is the end of this month to say we're going to start on time or not. Now, that doesn't mean that tomorrow they can't say, hey, we're going to go conference only, right? But I that doesn't matter if you can't play come August 29th, right? So I would say by the end of this month, there will be some major decisions made as far as the actual timing of this season.
We're with Heather Dinich from ESPN. If they play, Heather, let's say they play in the fall, but there are either no fans or limited fans, there will be a loss of ticket revenues in some way, shape, or form. What are the possible ramifications down the road? How do you think the pandemic and what plays out the rest of this year could impact, if it does, the landscape of FBS going forward?
Well, I think it depends on how severe the financial ramifications are. I mean, one thing that I've thought about that could absolutely happen, that we're already starting to see happen, is cutting back on coaches' salaries, right? I mean, you're seeing, it seems like every week there's, hey, 10% pay cut here to help with the pandemic costs. And, you know, I talked to Shane Lyons at West Virginia yesterday, and that's one of the issues between separating the FCS and some of the haves and have-nots right now, is the ability to pay for these tests and test the athletes. They're $100 a pop, roughly, right? And you're talking about testing just football players alone, and he estimated you'd be talking about $10,000 a week. So you're already seeing salary cuts, and I wonder if there are long-term ramifications, if that's part of it. I think another thing that you could see is more regionalization of sports, meaning does Notre Dame send its softball team to Florida? Probably not. You know, if there are budget cuts, hey, we don't have to eliminate this sport, but we're not going to play tournaments all over the country. We're going to see what can we do on buses. So I think things like that are things that you could see as far as non-rev sports go.
With the non-revs, we have seen the elimination of some sports at some institutions. Do you anticipate that it could get worse?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was Boise State that cut baseball just last week. You know, you're seeing that there, and I do think that we'll see more of them, because some of this certainly isn't sustainable. And if you do go to a conference-only schedule, how does that impact some of those other maybe group of five, or certainly the FCS? It won't surprise me, honestly, if by the end of the week the FCS cancels sports. We'll see. The Ivy League has a major decision coming tomorrow on that, and I would expect the Patriot League to follow. And that could be a domino effect, but people that I've talked to have said it's not necessarily going to affect us at the group of five, power five level.
So for those of you who get lost in the letters, the FCS is the old 1AA. So you think they might actually just cancel the whole season this week?
They might. I'm not sure. Their announcement is tomorrow. I think the most important question is how does whatever they do impact the big boys, right? And I don't necessarily know that it will. I just glanced at the Washington Post yesterday, and I saw some things about Harvard and Princeton just in terms of reducing the number of students on campus. Mm-hmm. And you saw how the Ivy League had a trickle-down effect in basketball. But again, I don't know if that got too much credit, because the people that I've talked to, Power Five commissioners, one of the biggest factors that shut down college sports was Rudy Gobert and the NBA. I mean, that, yes, the Ivy League kind of started the decision-making process, no doubt about that, but it's also very, very different from what the Group of Five and Power Five conferences have going on, not just financially, but academically, and where they're all located as well.
Final thing for you, Heather. You mentioned Group of Five, but I'm going to ask you about the other schools, because here, you know, in Buffalo, we have the University of Buffalo. They're in the Mid-American Conference. What about those conferences? How could they? Is it possible you'll see one plan for the Power Leagues and a different one for the rest of FBS?
It's possible, but based on conversations that I've had, including with MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher, they are talking more than ever before. But the bottom line is this. The decisions made by the Power Five Conference Commissioners are going to drive everything else. And I think the Group of Five will try to follow what they do. But again, how does the conference-only possibility factor into those conversations and what they do? It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, guys.
Heather Dinich with us, college football playoff reporter for ESPN. You can read her work at ESPN.com. Nice to have you on the show with us this morning, Heather. Thanks for giving us your time, and hopefully, if there is a season, enjoy the college football season.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to tell you who the top four teams are going to be than talking about this.
Thanks, guys. I would have asked you about the top teams, and I just feel it's like, maybe not yet.
I know.
Right?
It is. I'm like, wait, what's going on with football?
Yeah, right? No, there's some, like I said, honestly, look, I heard a discussion this morning. Sorry, but I heard a discussion this morning that if they push the season and the NFL says we're keeping the draft where it is, the Trevor Lawrences of the world, you wouldn't even see in the next college football season, because they wouldn't want to run the risk of playing with the draft just, you know, right around the corner.
And that is a major concern, especially in the SEC. I can tell you that. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Heather. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!